Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. This is Frank McKay, and my very special guest is Jody Mattinson. And Jody is the subject and the star of the new film, A Madden's Heaven, Heaven and Hell. And that is something that listen, it's very interesting. It's an interesting read. Let's talk about it, Jody. Welcome.
Hi.
Yeah. Well, how are you? How are you set up for this? Were you prepared to be featured? Or did it kind of sneak up on you? Was this in prep? Was there a lot of preparation involved? Or
I met the director of the film, Courtney Ragland, in Vegas, and he was intrigued by my life, and it was his idea, and so I just rolled with it. It wasn't really, you know, it didn't sneak up on me by any means. I mean, it was something I agreed to do, but it wasn't something that I would have thought upon myself, so.
Yeah, now, it wasn't, how long ago did it start, and how long did it take to complete?
It took about a year for completion. It started before my incarceration and completed upon my release, which was 3 years. I was incarcerated 3 years, so.
Now, you're incarcerated, I'm sorry, for 3 years for prostitution and...
No.
No, go. Come on, tell us. So tell us what you were incarcerated.
Okay, OMG.
Go ahead.
I was incarcerated for federal tax evasion.
Oh, okay. Big difference there. Okay.
So, yeah, that was definitely not just a misdemeanor petty crime for, you know, a sex act.
And
by any means.
Yeah. Now, you're out now. You're out and about.
I'm out now. Yay.
Yeah, and let's talk about incarceration. I mean, what type of was this like a country club jail, or was this Orange is a New Black type jail? I mean, was it a tough place, or was it?
You know what, Orange is the New Black would really fit the description of where I was located. Other than a couple of things, but that particular movie or series was in a federal institution, and it's very, very similar to that. Other than my location was a little higher security. There was no, like, dorm living. There was no, like, big groups of girls hanging out in dorms and on each other's bunk beds. It was more like cell living. But it was pretty much the same as Orange is the New Black, yeah.
Yeah. Now, did you feel threatened in there, or did you feel like they had a handle on it, that the authorities had a handle on it?
I never felt threatened or scared, no.
All right. Well, let's give the website. While people are listening, maybe they could kind of look along. What's the website that they should be checking out, either social media wise or website?
The website is amadamsheavenandhell.com.
Okay, amadamsheavenandhell.com, and that's you. You were the madam.
Yes.
All right, and you now. What about the size of the facility that you were running? How many girls were working for you?
It's currently still to this day. I mean, even when I was incarcerated, my business was still happening. You know, I had trusted people that were running it for me, thank God. I usually have about 100 girls or so between all of my locations.
Now, your locations are where? In the state of Nevada?
No, I actually just live in Nevada, but I don't have anything going on here. It's too much drama. My services are located in California, Southern California, and Salt Lake City, Utah, believe it or not.
Wow.
The Mormon capital, yeah.
Yeah, now I can't imagine that it's legal there, right? I mean, is it legal in Utah and California, the prostitution?
You know, prostitution is illegal, and a lot of people think when you hear escort service, a lot of people just are drawn to prostitution. I offer time and companionship to gentlemen that are in need of somebody to keep them company. We don't offer sex services. I can't sell a girl to go out and do anything illegal for money. You know what I mean?
Right, but you can't control what she does after she leaves your.
I can't.
Right.
All I can assure her is that I don't expect her to break the law. I don't expect her to do anything that she's not comfortable doing, and that she's not getting booked out to these calls to do anything for sex. And I have to make that very clear and specifically clear. I even have meetings with a company lawyer that basically wrote a lot of the ordinances in the city of Salt Lake. It's a very, very prosperous business there because it's considered a hobbyist state, meaning there's not a lot of things to do there. So they see girls for fun. Like, that's their hobby. They save their money to see girls.
If you just tune
in.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, people are always really surprised about, like, the, you know, the business is so popular there, but it really is. I mean, these guys are, they were, most of them raised in a controlled environment where they were taught that, like, you know, sexy girls are off limits and we're bad and evil. And so when they do get some freedom, they go crazy.
If you're just tuning in, let me remind everyone that this is Frank McKay, but more importantly, Jody Mattinson is our very special guest. A Madam's, and you give it to us, the film's name is A Madam's Life in Heaven and Hell?
It's actually just called A Madam's Heaven and Hell.
A Madam's Heaven and Hell. And it will be available on Vimeo, on demand. And that's, you know, that's certainly a great spot. Everyone gets Vimeo. Everyone who, you know, that knows how to turn on a computer gets Vimeo. And that's a great place to be seen. How did you like, and I know we touched on this a little bit, but do you feel like you are getting a chance to tell your story and you can kind of clear the record up? I mean, is that, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but is that the feel you have here, or is it just something completely different?
No, that's totally it. Yeah, people, you know, they're very judgmental. They really don't know what's going on. And my story is it's interesting, just from how I was raised to how I ended up being who I am today, you know. And I think it's appealing to a lot of people, pretty much everybody. I mean, everybody would be interested in some part of it, whether it was the abuse I endured as a child and then a teenager, and, you know, being homeless to doing what I had to do to get out of that situation. Like, I'm a survivor.
It sounds like it, and everything I've read about you, it sounds like you've definitely you've been through a lot, and you're surviving, and you're standing on your feet. Let's do a little bit of Jody Mattinson history here. Where were you born, and where were you raised?
I was born in Utah, small town in Utah, and pretty much raised there as well.
Mormon?
Yes, I was raised Mormon, LDS. Mm-hmm.
Now, just shed a little light on the Mormon religion. You know, of course, you know, you know the success that Trey Parker and Matt Stone had with the Book of Mormon. Did you ever see that?
No.
Have you heard about it?
I haven't.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge, you know, a huge Broadway hit. I haven't seen it, but I mean, I know that, you know, South Park, they obviously. They do things purposely to offend, and I'm sure Mormons all over the place are offended by this.
Oh, you said Broadway hit. I think I actually have heard of it.
Yeah. Oh, it's huge. It's the Book of Mormon. It's a, you know, it's a monstrous success. But what's your view on the Mormon religion? And keep in mind, I'm not passing judgment. I don't know. It's not a rhetorical question. What's your view on the Mormon religion?
Yeah, and, you know, honestly, I don't really know either. I know that when I was raised and my parents forced me to go to church, it made me feel very uncomfortable. And then when I got older and learned a lot of the rules and whatnot of the religion, it was something I never really wanted to do, like, I would never take my kids to the Mormon church. I mean, there's a lot of hypocrisy going on in that religion, it seems like. But I'm really not the best person to ask. I'm not too educated. I was one of those girls that was forced to go to church. And while I was in church, I was messing with my brothers and sisters. I wasn't really paying attention.
I don't
really know a whole lot about it.
What about the polygamy, the polygamy aspect of it? Mormons believe in polygamy, right? And they believe in, you know, man's right to have more than one wife, you know, and that's...
You know, not the modern-day Mormons. Now, there are little towns in Utah and right outside of Utah that do have communities that are only polygamous living there. But as far as the modern-day Mormons, no, they don't. They don't go for that. So somewhere along the line, it got switched up to where it's not righteous, and it's not, they don't agree with it anymore. But yeah, back in the day, they completely did, as far as I know.
Frank McKay here, and Jody Mattinson is our very, very special guest, and she is a subject and the star of a new documentary. And tell us a little bit about the filmmaker. Who's the creator of this?
The creator is Frank Williams. He is also the producer of American Gangster. You know, he's won several awards. He's pretty successful and
tremendous career.
He's having really happy with it.
Yeah, he's having a tremendous career. And did you work with him hand in hand on this? Were you on the set constantly, or did you get an opportunity to allow delegation? In other words, you were the subject, but you didn't have to be there for every little detail. What was the situation?
Exactly.
So you got to come in when needed, but not you didn't have to be there every single day.
Right.
Now, are you looking at, I guess it wouldn't be dailies, but weeklies of this? Did you get updates? Did they say, was it the type of thing where they would point out, or Frank would point out, hey, look, we need your opinion on this? I mean, give me a little bit of the process that you went through and the type of input that you may have given. Was it just kind of correcting facts?
Well, I mean, they videoed me at work. They videoed me at my home, me interacting with my children. They videoed me actually turning myself into the federal prison in the Bay Area, San Francisco area. So they videoed like a lot of my just daily life and about the business and a little bit of my social life as well. And as far as the interviews and whatnot, there was a lot of cutting out we had to do of the interviews because I didn't want to possibly like get in trouble there was some incriminating stuff that, you know what I mean, like could have been said. So there was a lot of watering down, I should say, as far as what was said in the documentary.
Was this your first time incarcerated?
Yes.
Yeah, you never, were you arrested prior to this?
I have been arrested before for petty things, and I was immediately bailed out. Like, I never slept over in a jail before.
Yeah, like holding cell type things, right? You just kind of.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, this was culture shock. How old are your children?
Right now they're 13 and 9.
So when you went in, they were 10 and 6?
No, because I've been out for a couple of years. So they were actually
younger than
8 that. And yeah, like I think 8 and 6.
Well, it's very
or 8 and 5, 4 maybe, yeah.
It's very harsh to take children away from their mother. And obviously if you murdered somebody or you did something, major harm to somebody, I could see it. But what they're talking about was tax evasion. And
yes, which I paid the taxes as well. I just got in trouble for signing a form that was a marriage filing jointly form. And it wasn't like I intentionally screwed the government out of money. I just was uneducated on the whole tax ordeal, and I trusted my accountant and my ex-husband, and I signed a form I shouldn't have. So,
is there anyone on the government side who's questioning the harshness of this publicly?
I doubt it.
Or are they just kind of circling the wagons, and they all agree that hey, she deserved this? That's a hard thing to take a mom away from a kids, or vice versa.
What it was is it was my indictment. I got indicted in Salt Lake City, Utah, and it was the nature of the business. Had I been in Vegas, New York, Miami, L.A., any big major city, but I was in Salt Lake City, Utah. You know, there were these girls that got on the stand claiming they made $500,000 a year when they were 21 years old. And that pissed the judge off that these girls were making that type of money at this nature of a job. And I believe it solely had to do with the nature of the business, straight up. Like, they had no evidence. Besides the fact, I mean, for what I did in signing that form, that should have got me like 6 months probation. But they completely just gave me the maximum amount, and it was ridiculous. And I know it was because of where it was. It was Utah.
If you're just tuning in, once again, Jody Mattinson is our special guest. The film once again is A Madam's Heaven and Hell, and she spent 3 years in federal prison for tax evasion, and she is in charge of an escort service. Is that the proper name for it?
Yes.
Escort service, and you know, and again, I'm not being snide when I say that, but that's your official, like, if you were to put on a form what you do, you run an escort service is what you do.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Exactly.
Good. Right. And you know, right, they say a brothel. Did they use the term brothel in the trial?
A brothel is actually a location where gentlemen come to a house, a whorehouse, basically,
right,
is what a brothel is.
So this isn't that.
I have office.
Yeah.
No, and in brothels, it's legal prostitution. Escort services are offering time and companionship to guys or women, whatever. However, it's not for a prostitution act. So let's get that clear here.
Sure.
You know, a brothel, again, is they're usually on the outskirts of Nevada, in like Pahrump, Nevada, and other little cities in Nevada that where prostitution is legal. And I don't run a brothel. I would love to run a brothel, actually. I'd love to buy a brothel or open one. That would be awesome.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the silliest question in the world is you, of course, you think prostitution should be legalized, right? You don't think this should be an illegal activity. I can't imagine.
I do think it should be legalized. Absolutely.
You know, I mean, it's legal in Nevada. It's not actually legal in Las Vegas, right? It's
not legal in Clark County. It's only legal exactly like the city where MGM, all the hotels are, the Wynn, Bellagio. In the city limits of Clark County, it's completely illegal. And a lot of people come here because they think that they can actually get a prostitute, and it's legal. Like, they come here just strictly for that, but it's illegal in Nevada or in Las Vegas. On the outskirts, about, you have to drive about 30 minutes away, and that's where they have the brothels, where you can go in there and you can say, hey, I'd like to pick that girl right there to have sex with me.
Now, what about the surrounding states? Is Nevada the only state that that has that legality?
I think that I know of, yes.
So while you were incarcerated, your business was still being run, and it was being run by people you trusted, and you did all right while you were in there?
I did okay, yes. My sister moved into my house and took care of my kids so they didn't have to be uprooted and change their environment. And that was the main thing when I told them when I was going to prison. I said, you know, mommy, they didn't even know women went to prison. They were like, oh, my God, I didn't know women even went to prison, mommy. I said, what can I do to make this okay for you guys and to make you guys happy while I'm gone? And they said, we just want to be around our friends and our toys. So my sister moved from Utah and moved into my house, and they went to the same school. They kept the same activities, tried to keep everything as normal as we could in that situation. As far as business, yeah, I have about 10 secretaries that run my offices for me. And, you know, because I am a single mother and that's my priority. And they did the same. They just ran everything as if I was there. So,
yeah. Well, that's good news. How much have your daughters changed in the 3 years that you were away? And do you think that there's, you know, it would be impossible to say whether they missed a beat yet. You know, you'll have to see as that goes along. But boy, it's horrible. It's just horrible to take a mom away from the kids, and you know, just under these circumstances. I mean, I could see probation, I could see whatever, but I think they're punishing you for the idea of escorts. I mean, that's
Totally, completely. And it was appalling because my ex-husband, who are, you know, the father of my two kids, he also did prison time, and they wouldn't. I was like, well, can I go first, and then he goes when I get out, so therefore the kids don't have to be separated from both parents because he's an active father. And, you know, we're not together, but he's very active and he's a great dad. But they sent us away at the same time. So it was heart-wrenching, most definitely.
So let's get the website from you again, and let's get the information where people can get to see this documentary. It sounds like it's going to be terrific and riveting and, you know, disturbing all at once. Give us the, and again, Jody Mattinson is the subject and the star of this film, and A Madam's Heaven and Hell. Go ahead, give us the info.
Yep, that's it. Just amadamsheavenandhell.com.
And you'll be able to see that on Vimeo on demand. Jody Mattinson is our very special guest. And again, this is Frank McKay. And the name of the film that we're talking about is A Madam's Heaven and Hell. And Emmy Award winning Frank Williams is the creator of this. And the director was Courtney Ragland. And she's also won awards. We're coming right up on a break. Again, Frank McKay. My special guest is Jody Mattinson. A Madam's Heaven and Hell. We'll be back right after this. I'd like to welcome everyone back to Breaking It Down. This is Frank McKay, and my very special guest is Jody Mattinson, and she is the subject and the star of a documentary that you can see on Vimeo On Demand. It's called A Madam's Heaven and Hell, and a fascinating look at the incarceration and I guess everything, you know, based around this, and you'll tell us a little more. Jody was incarcerated for tax evasion, not for what would the term be, facilitating a prostitution ring, which isn't what she is. I have to say this, right? That you're claiming that you're running an escort service. You don't know what happens afterwards. So it's not a brothel. It's not. And these girls technically aren't prostitutes. I know people will disagree with that. But American Gangster producer Frank Williams is the creator of this. And Jody, welcome back.
Hi. Hello.
Okay. So now the creation of this business. Now, when did you start up? And again, you're speaking to an audience that you know. Whenever you speak to anyone, and especially with the name of the film being Madam's Heaven and Hell, they're looking at you as a madam of a brothel. And no matter what you say, you know, there's going to be certain people that aren't being sympathetic. I just want to remind them that you spent 3 years incarcerated for tax evasion. You were taken away from your girls, your two little girls. And normally,
it's actually a boy and a girl.
I'm sorry, I apologize. Yeah, boy and a girl, and taken away from them, which is harsh. And you say, and I'm going to take your word on it, just because I don't have any info in front of me, but that what you did would normally carry a penalty of 6 months probation, and not even 6 months in jail, but never mind, three years in jail. Is that accurate?
Yeah, well, the federal system, they have to go by a certain guideline, and it's pretty much up to the judge to give you either the maximum amount or the lowest amount. But there is a guideline that they have to go by. And
what would the lowest amount have been?
I believe it would have been about like 6 months probation, if that. But however, he did, because I think it was because of the nature of the business. You know, I was in Salt Lake City, Utah, where all the Mormons are, very strict, a lot of hypocrisy going on there. I believe just because I was there in that city, and that's where I got indicted and I went to trial, I believe it was just because of the nature of the business, the judge wanted to make an example out of me. She separated me from my kids for 3 years, which was hard, but we survived and we're back and everything's good.
Who was your lawyer?
Oh my gosh. I don't want to put my lawyer on blast.
Well, I'm sure he shows up in the documentary, right?
No, he shows, I have a lot of attorneys, but the particular one that defended me on this one is not in the documentary.
Listen, I'm pretty sure it's public record, you know, like, well, I guess you'd be flattered if somebody did the research to do it. Let me remind everyone, the woman who just laughed at that question is Jody Mattinson, and she is the subject of A Madam's Heaven and Hell, a new documentary. Frank Williams, right, is the creator, award-winning Frank Williams, who is also known for American Gangster. And what is it? Mormon police officer's daughter. Is that you?
Yes.
Yeah, so let's go into this a little bit. All right, so your father's a Mormon police officer. And,
well, he's retired now, but yes, growing up he was.
All right, growing up he's a Mormon police officer. Now, how is that relevant? I guess that's relevant because it's you know, it's sort of man bites dog, right? You figure a cop's Mormon daughter would grow up to be, you know, a Mormon wife, housewife, and stick to the rules. And here we are, madam, right? It's Madam Jody,
right.
and that's the irony there. So tell us about growing up, and tell us about you know, unfortunately, the abuse that you engaged, or that were subject to.
Well, growing up, I was always grounded. I think it was because, you know, my parents were just really strict. They wanted to protect me. I don't know, but I had no privileges whatsoever. And then I got into a relationship when I was 18. Pretty much I was forced to marry him because my parents wanted me to. They didn't want to be responsible for me anymore, either financially or, to me, I feel like emotionally. And this guy came along. He was 10 years older than me. We got married pretty much immediately. He ends up being a woman beater, really bad, like crazy. I ended up in a homeless shelter because I had nowhere to go. My parents pretty much wouldn't let me come home. They said, you're grown, you're 18, you're married now, you're on your own. No, you can't come home. And I was afraid for my life. I saw this man shoot another man. I mean, oh my God, it was.
Is this the father of your children? Is this man the father of children?
No, no,
he's not.
This
okay.
is not. This is another. This is my first husband. I've been married 2 times.
Okay.
I was only 18. Okay, I saw this man shoot another man after he had just violently beat me up to go with him. And I ran several blocks. I had nowhere to go. That's when I used the payphone to call my parents. And I ended up in a homeless shelter, a women's shelter, that night. And couldn't think of anything but how I wanted to just go back to my place and get my clothes. I at least needed some, you know, clean panties and some shoes and whatever. While I was there in the women's shelter, I was watching Oprah Winfrey, and there were working girls on there that were claiming how much money they made and, you know, making several hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. And that's what opened my eyes to thinking, you know, maybe I could do that to get back on my feet again. So that's where it all began.
Hmm. So Oprah inspired the prostitution that you, now. So you were a prostitute at one point.
I was an escort. I started off being an escort, entertaining, going and doing dates with guys, and that lasted about a year. And this is when I was barely 18. I wasn't really happy doing it. I felt a little uncomfortable. But I needed to do what I had to do to get back on my feet, to get money, to get possessions, a car, furniture, a place. I needed to get all my possessions back that I lost when I left my husband. And once I did that, I started running a gentleman's office, doing his phones and answering his phones. I was his secretary. And that's pretty much where I learned the basics on how to, like, actually run and open a service as far as, like, the business aspects of everything.
Well, let me jump back to my initial question, and let me preface it by saying this, because of, and again, I'm hearing your side, and I'm taking what you're saying as law, right? I you know, this is horrible. Women have to deal with this all the time. Well, not, you know, necessarily watching somebody shoot. Did he kill the guy that he shot, or he just wounded the guy?
I don't think so, because he shot him in his leg. So I'm assuming.
Okay.
I didn't stick around for anything. I saw it happen, and that's when I ran.
I have listen. Anybody that abuses a woman, I have no use for, and I'm sure anybody listening, you know, would say that they're the scum of the earth and everything else. So we have no sympathy there, but certainly have sympathy for you and you know, other people that are victimized in that situation. You know, later on, when you get into the tax evasion, is probably where you lose some sympathy. But let me ask you again, and again, I'm not being judgmental by any means. I don't. You had to do what you had to do. When you say you were an escort, is there any downside to saying yes, I was a prostitute for that year? And again, I'm not being judgmental, and I'm not definitely not trying to come down hard on you. I'm with you on this. I mean, I'm with you, and I think people are listening with you. But for years, is there a downside? You can't be charged, right? Or are you afraid, just from a public relations standpoint, that the fact that you engaged in prostitution, it makes less of a case? I don't think that. So for that year, let me ask you again: for that year, you engaged in the profession of prostitution, right?
What I did was I actually went on dates with guys that, you know, are three times my age, and I was pretty much like their arm candy.
Okay.
I would, you know, fantasy role play, model lingerie, kiss and cuddle. You know, there was some intimacy going on.
Okay.
For money,
yeah.
Absolutely. So.
I got you. All right. No, and no judgment here. And listen, you had to do what you had to do. All right, so you get you get out of that in a year, you said? And what do you get into in a year?
I did. I was really blessed. To the guy that I worked for, he needed a secretary, and he liked my work ethic. And so I was really blessed to have to get the phone position, because I didn't have to, like, actually date anymore, but I was still pretty much making the same amount of money on the phone. So that was really helpful, and it gave me, like, a lot of knowledge to do my own thing, you know?
Another reminder that Jody Mattinson is our very special guest, and this is Frank McKay. Jody is the subject of the movie A Madam's Heaven and Hell, and it's a Frank Williams production. Frank Williams, known for his work with American Gangster, great work with American Gangster, and very successful. And again, the director is, I give the lady's name again, I'm sorry, she's an award winning also. What is her name?
The director is actually Courtney Ragland.
Courtney Ragland.
He's a man.
Oh, he's a man. I apologize. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So when do you get into owning an escort service?
After I was about like 23 years old.
And how far after you worked as an escort for that 1 year? How much time?
It was about four years later.
Okay.
4 or 5 years later. The Olympics were coming, the Salt Lake City Winter Olympics, you know, were coming to Salt Lake, so I thought the market was pretty much wide open at that point.
Did you do this alone, or did you have some kind of, did you have a partner, or did you have, you know, somebody that was kind of sharing the responsibilities of setting it up, or did you do it on basically solo?
I did it with my kid's father.
Okay. And it sounds like it was a successful business model. I mean, how soon were you making money?
We were making money immediately. I mean, the first day we were open, I made sure that, you know, we had the girls lined up, the advertisement, everything was great from the beginning, pretty much.
Now, how do you get girls to do this? Is it like a Craigslist thing? Is this pre-Craigslist or is this post-Craigslist?
This was definitely pre-Craigslist. Pretty much to find girls, if I saw a pretty girl in public, I would give her a business card, tell her she can make a lot of money if she's interested. Or I would advertise, like, in the newspaper, the local newspaper, or at the colleges, I would put flyers, you know, just wherever. I mean, wherever the girls hung out, I would put, like, cards or flyers at the bars, restaurants, whatever.
Now, did you get questioned by the police while you were doing this, while you were recruiting? Was there any blowback on that? Was there any pushback where you were questioned? What are you trying to do here?
No, because my business is licensed. They know. I mean, I have an actual office where they can come in at any point in time and search the office to see if anything illegal is going on, to make sure all the girls that we are working are licensed. They all have to have a health test, a criminal background check. And they can come in at any point in time and see what's going on. It's in the ordinance. Like, they don't have to have a search warrant. I have to let them in. So they know what's going on. They know exactly what's going on.
Now, what did you have to do to get that kind of license? Were you investigating?
I just had to pay the fee, have a place. I mean, there's hoops you have to jump through with all businesses. You know, you just got to make sure that you have everything that they want as far as, like, the licensing and the ordinances and the location, zoning, you know.
It's like a DBA, like you would do it, doing business as, they call it, you know, they call it here. And so you basically just set up the situation. And as I guess it's just open to them coming in, and you have to be careful. Did you ever get busted, or did any of the girls ever get busted for prostitution while you were running this escort service?
Yes, they have been.
All right, was it a common occurrence, or was it a rare situation?
No, it's not common at all. It's pretty rare. And
I mean, you know, once a month, times, once a month, twice a month, what kind of frequency?
I'd say maybe like once a year.
Well, okay. All right. That's, you know, again, I know people are listening to us saying, oh my God, you know, but once a year is not a lot, you know, I mean, and again, once they leave your leave your office.
Now, mind you, the cops do things much more often than that, you know?
Yeah.
But the girls, when we tell the girl, you know, this guy is a new customer, we don't know who he is. He could definitely be the police, and she's going to go in there, and she's going to make sure that she follows all the laws, which are, they're very strict. And unless they have a law in Utah that you cannot even see a guy naked, like you can't get naked for a guy, you can't, unless he signs a 24-hour nudity notice. If he signs a nudity notice, the girl can go completely naked during their date. He just can't touch her private parts.
Jody Mattinson is our very special guest. This is Frank McKay. We've got about 5 minutes left. You're laughing. You're laughing. You think I'm changing the subject when you mention that. But A Madam's Heaven and Hell is the name of the documentary, and it's a Frank Williams production. Frank Williams from American Gangster. And do you imagine this is going to get a wide viewing, or will it be very niche? In other words, just a few people seeing it and recognizing it.
I have absolutely no idea.
What are you anticipating?
I'm anticipating that my book does very well. I wrote a book while I was in prison, and I anticipate that going big.
Is that out? Is your book out?
No, not yet.
Okay. Do you have an estimate of how long it'll take to get out?
I would say probably in about 6 months.
And you have a major publisher, or are you self-publishing?
I don't have a publisher yet.
Okay. And well, it's interesting. It sounds like a fascinating read. I mean, everything that you're saying is certainly interesting. And again, like I said, as far as being abused, it's disgraceful, and you have all my sympathy there. I think where you lose sympathy, again, you're probably right. You got railroaded because of the type of business it was. It was escort service, which for many people is just a euphemism for, you know, whorehouse, right, or brothel, or whatever you'd want to call it. And you were in Salt Lake City. Get on your lawyer here, but was there any movement towards getting it out of Salt Lake City, having a jury picked from outside of that?
No, it wasn't a jury trial. It was a judge trial.
It was only a judge making this decision.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
What about change of venue? I mean, was there a motion to change venue?
I don't believe so. I don't think it would have been possible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, I don't know your lawyer, but I know you're being, he's probably great and he probably knows the laws there. I'm not a lawyer, that's for sure, but I also know a lot of people would be screaming bloody murder if they spent 3 years for tax evasion, you know, with young kids mm-hmm. out there. What was the amount that you were accused of and that you were convicted? You were convicted, so it's not an accusation. What was the amount?
It was high. It was almost $1 million.
$1 million that you allegedly evaded, or you were convicted of evading $1 million, or it was $1 million to be taxed?
Good question. I think it was they said I owed. No, it was to be taxed.
All right. So $1 million.
I don't know. All I know is that my the amount that I owe is almost $1 million.
Oh, that's what you owed. Okay.
I'm not even sure.
Yeah. Well, so I mean that. Were you doing $2 million a year in profits?
Oh yeah.
More than that.
But they charged me. They charged me for the girls' money as well, though.
Okay.
The girls' money on their credit cards that were ran through my bank account, they charged me for all of their money as well. Like, they charged me, it was way more than $2 million that they said that we had made in that those particular couple of years. But they, like I said, the whole thing was unfair.
So financially, you're okay, though. You're okay because the business continued. You're not broke.
No.
You're not broke. It's just the time away from the kids, your boy and your girl, is, horrible. And in jail, were you abused in jail?
No.
So, yeah. So, it was, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but what was the worst part? We got about a minute left with Jody Mattinson. This is Frank McKay, and the name of the movie is A Madam's Heaven and Hell. Frank Williams production from America Gangst and American Gangster fame. We've got about a minute left. Take the obvious out, that you're away from your children. What was the worst part of being away?
Not having any control.
Yeah.
You know, just being in an environment that was so militant, you know, telling me what time I had to wake up, what time my bed had to be made, what I had to wear, if my shirt was too tight, my pants were too loose. Being told what to do as far as all my actions was really hard.
Well, listen, it's, and you know, one last question. We're up against it, and we'll plug the movie again. And I wish you had the book to plug a bit here.
I do too.
Yeah, but we will. We'll bring you back, and we'll certainly talk about that. I think was it therapeutic? Was the documentary therapeutic for you?
Not really. Writing my book was therapeutic.
It was not the why wasn't the documentary? Did Frank Williams insist upon things that you didn't want in there just for the, you know?
Oh, no, not at all. No, it was mutual.
Okay, so if you said, I really can't put that in there, he acquiesced?
Then it wouldn't go in. Right.
All right. Listen, we're out of time, unfortunately. We need more time with you. Really, terrific job, and certainly for being away from your children and the abuse you received, I'm sympathetic. I don't know all the... you know, the whole story about the tax evasion, and I'm sure, you know, obviously, I mean, there's, you know, he had enough to convict you on it. It's a shame that 3 years is what you spent on that, and I'll take your word for it that that he could have done the 6 months. Was 3 years the max that you could have done?
Uh-huh.
You think if he could have put you in for 5 years, he would have put you in for 5 years?
Yeah, probably so.
Jody Mattinson. Thrilled to have you, and good to have you back. Enjoy your time with your children. A Madam's Heaven and Hell. Give us the websites again, and just plug the film.
AmadamsHeavenandHell.com and Vimeo On Demand.
Very good. Jody Mattinson, thanks for being here.
Thanks.
Jody Mattinson, AmadamsHeavenandHell.com. Go there, check it out. And it's a hell of a story, and look for her book in the future. We'll bring her back when the book's ready to go. This is Frank McKay. We will see you next time on Breaking It Down.